And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, what I have to do is I have to say thank you and goodbye. Okay, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about somebody else. I probably just gave some of you a heart attack. Some of you think I just came on the radio to say, well, I'm done doing radio. No, that's not where we're going today. Where we're going today is we're going to say goodbye to somebody who has served this nation for 4 years. I'm talking about President Joe Biden. He was elected president back in, 2020? Or was it 2019? I don't know how that works. 2020, I think, is when he ran. 2021 was when he was actually installed in the office, right? January 20th of 2021, because that's when the Jan 6 stuff started, right? Okay, so now that we're all in the same sheet of music, and I'm going to do my best not to upset my audience today, but I have to admit, there is no way I can talk about President Joe Biden and talk about the presidency without making some of you a little upset with me. So please understand, I am not picking on President Joe Biden. I'm not. As a matter of fact, I'm here saying thank you. Thank you for your service. Yes, I am saying thank you for your service to a president that I didn't always agree with. Now, why am I saying thank you for his service to a man I don't even know? Here's why. The guy, let's just be clear here. The guy is sitting in the toughest seat in all of the United States. He has the most difficult job, not only in the United States of America, but in my opinion, the entire world. He is supposed to be everything to everyone in the United States of America while maintaining peace around the world. That's a tough job. Now, he's been given a lot of things to help him affect his responsibilities. He's given a cabinet. He's given all kinds of resources. He's even been given a Congress to work with him and a Supreme Court to keep them in line. There's a lot of responsibility that falls at the feet of the president. Let's be very clear about that. Now, we in the United States of America, we can be very good about poking the bear. Yeah, we can sit back in our comfy chairs and we can Monday morning quarterback just about anything because we as Americans are excellent at that. We are very good at that. So I could sit here and I could poke holes in Joe Biden's presidency. Now, there are some things that he did that I wasn't very happy about. The first thing that comes to my mind is a little place called Afghanistan. Having served in Afghanistan, having lost, well, I didn't lose any soldiers personally, but having been aware of soldiers that paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice, if you will, while I was serving in Afghanistan, it's difficult. It's difficult to watch how we removed ourselves from Afghanistan, and not to take it a little personal. Yeah, part of me wants to take it a little bit personally, like the work that I did there, the work that my soldiers did there, the work that the United States of America, the United States military did there. It's kind of like we just went, okay, we're done, and we walked away from it, which is kind of what we did. But at the end of the day, Joe Biden had to make a decision about a place called Afghanistan. And no matter what decision he made, there were going to be people that are going to be on his side and people that are going to be not on his side. So it's kind of like a situation where you just can't win. I mean, you can win with some people, but you're not going to win with everybody. At the end of the day, Joe Biden made the decision that Joe Biden made. Now, I heard earlier this week him talking about Afghanistan, him talking about his justification for why he did it. And I can understand his justification. I can understand it. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but I understand it. So many of you are sitting there in your chairs, looking at the radio or looking at your phone because you're on a podcast, wondering what I am doing, talking about Afghanistan, talking about the presidency of Joe Biden, when you tuned in to hear about real estate investing. Did you know that Joe Biden had a hand in what goes on with real estate investing? Well, he did, and he does. And even though he's not the former president yet, he's still got a little more time to go. He's still got to get to Monday, right? He's got to hand the keys over to the guy with the orange hair, right? Countless families are struggling just to find somewhere affordable to live, with the dream of home ownership all but snuffed out for much of the middle class. So what does that have to do with real estate investing? It has everything to do with real estate investing. Let me read it to you one more time, and let me see if we can pick out the components of this statement that actually apply to real estate investing. You ready for it? Countless families are struggling just to find affordable places to live. Right there. What that means is there are people that are looking for affordability in their housing. Now, some of you would argue, well, you know, if they're renters, I mean, you got to pay what the market rent is, right? Okay, fair enough. But this statement that was made goes on to say, with the dream of homeownership all but snuffed out for much of the middle class. So what this statement is referring to are all of those people out there that would like to buy a property for them to live in so that they would consume their own property by themselves. They're unable to do so. So what does that mean? Well, it means they have to live somewhere. So if they don't own where they live, what do you suppose they're doing? Why, they're renting, of course. They are renters. So what this statement is telling me is that in 2023, people that wanted to migrate out of renting, that wanted to move into the realm of home ownership, were not allowed to because of the lack of affordability. They couldn't afford to buy the homes that they would like to buy. So what are they doing? They're renting. How does that affect real estate investment? It keeps the pool of available renters kind of artificially higher than it should be, because if you sit back and you kind of analyze how people progress through their lives, people start in childhood, they progress to adulthood, and then they progress to their elderly years, and then eventually they expire, right? Okay. But along the way, what happens is their ability to purchase more expensive things becomes more of a reality as they move through the path of time. I was not able to buy a house when I first graduated from college. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any credit. I didn't have a job. I mean, there was no way I was going to buy a house right out of college. But in 1988, 2 years after I left college, I bought my first rental property. Now, let me be really clear with you. I did it all wrong. I completely did it all wrong. As a matter of fact, in 1988, when I bought that piece of investment property, I thought I knew what I was doing. I had some information that gave me the concept that I knew what I was doing. But given the fact that I'm a Lifestyles Unlimited member today, and I've gone through all the educational programs, and I've gone through the mentoring, and I hang out with my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members, and I talk to them. As a matter of fact, I had a great conversation with my buddy Nathan earlier today, who's a fellow lead investor. And we were talking about a property that he's looking to buy. And I said, hey, you know what? If you want me to come take a look at the property with you, I'm available this afternoon. He said, yeah, you know what? Come on down. So you know what I'm going to do after this radio show? I'm going to go take a look at an 88-unit apartment community that my buddy Nathan is looking to buy, and I'm going to be an extra set of eyes and ears for him as we go through a kind of a due diligence walkthrough. I'm going to look for things that maybe he doesn't see, and then I'm going to report back on everything that I found because he's my bud. I'm going to tell him everything. Okay, I have totally gone down a rabbit hole. I've totally gone down a rabbit hole. What does that have to do with countless families are struggling just to find somewhere affordable to live, with the dream of home ownership all but snuffed out for much of the middle class? I think that that problem still exists. I think that it's a problem that, whether or not Joe Biden understood it was a problem or not, he was not able to affect. He was not able to turn it around for many families that want to enjoy the experience of home ownership. And because they cannot enjoy the experience of home ownership, they're going to rent. because they need a place to live, because that's one of those things that everybody in the United States of America, with the exception of the homeless population, and even a big portion of the homeless population, wants a place to live. And if they can't buy it, they're going to have to rent it, or they're going to have to get some kind of government sponsored housing, I guess, right? Because they need a place to live. Okay. So my takeaway, my big takeaway from that whole statement is that the number of renters in the United States of America has probably gone up, because if we're not cycling people out, if we're not taking them off the renter rolls and putting them onto the home ownership rolls, they're staying in the rental rolls. But every year, there is a new year group of people moving forward in the United States of America. And a portion of those people are trying to decide whether they can buy a property that they can live in or they have to rent. Kind of interesting, right? So my takeaway is that the pool of available renters is growing. That's what I believe. Based off of that statement, based off of what I know that's going on in the housing markets, I believe the pool of available renters is actually growing. Not at a massively high growth rate, but growing nonetheless. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about medium home prices. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by saying goodbye to a president that has served the United States of America for almost 4 years. The reason I'm saying it's almost 4 years is he's still got, what, about 72 hours to accomplish whatever it is he is trying to accomplish before he leaves office. Because guess what? Next Monday, we got a new president. We do. It's finally happening. 4 years has come. 4 years is gone. There's a new president coming in. That's for all of you that haven't been paying attention. Yeah, that was just for you guys out there that aren't paying any attention. All right, so what we're doing is we're talking about some issues that were raised during Biden's presidency with regards to housing. And interestingly enough, the arguments that are made are very generic. So when the arguments are made about housing, it encompasses the entire housing market. So in other words, any place, anywhere, anybody could live, the entire housing market. Now, I participate in the housing market. I do. I participate. And a lot of you yelling at the radio, yeah, you're a real estate investor. Of course you do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that I do participate in the housing market because I live somewhere, just like you probably live somewhere. You are participating in the housing market, whether you own, whether you rent, whether you live with your parents, immaterial. You are participating in the housing market. So the housing market is a very, very big, broad thing. So when the argument was made that countless families are struggling just to find somewhere affordable to live, with the dream of home ownership all but snuffed out for much of the middle class, when we make that statement, we're talking about a segment, albeit a very large segment, but a segment of the overall housing market. Now, what I do as a real estate investor by providing clean, functional workforce housing, I also participate in the housing market, but I'm participating as a provider, not as a consumer. Does that make sense? Okay, so the argument that was made against Biden was that consumers are having a problem, and in Al's opinion, are still having a problem due to affordability across the nation. Here's the other thing. Since Mr. Biden became president in 2021, the median, and when I say the median, I mean half or above and half or below, the median home price has jumped over 27%. Now, this was reported in 2023. This doesn't take into account any additional increases that have occurred since 2023. Median home price has jumped over 27%. Well, that's kind of good for a real estate investor, right? That means that your property values have potentially gone up 27% in the 3 years that Joe Biden was president, from the time he started up until the time this report was written. Seems like a good thing, right? But in the same breath, they write that interest rates have risen from 2.8% to 7.2%. Now, we know that interest rates have come down a little bit since the writing of this article. But when you consider the fact that the cost of money went up dramatically, the fact that interest rates rose very quickly and very aggressively in the Biden presidency, that did affect us in the real estate investing world. It affected our ability to purchase, because when we calculate what it costs for the money we're about to borrow, the costs associated with borrowing money at 7.2% is much, 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 much higher than if we borrowed it at 2.8%. So it had an impact on our purchasing ability in the real estate markets, which effectively kind of cooled the real estate markets down a little bit, especially in the multifamily apartment community segment of the housing genre. Yeah, think about it. If less people are going to the marketplace to buy product, then less people are going to the marketplace to buy product. And if sellers still want to sell their product, but there are not enough buyers to buy their product, what happens to their product? Their product does not sell. It stays in the possession of the person desiring to sell the property, right? There's some positive and some negative. The fact that my real estate values did go up during a Biden presidency, it did occur. I have empirical evidence that supports that in the fact that I owned multiple single-family properties that I acquired while Biden was president. And guess what? I took advantage of the prices going up, and the prices went up, and they went up, and they went up. And you know what I did? I wound up selling those assets, and I was able to find somebody that could buy it, and I made a lot of money. I made a lot of money selling those assets in a period of time when Joe Biden was the president. So I'm not upset about that result. Not upset about that result at all. But I am a little bit miffed at the fact that the interest rates went from the lowest interest rates I had ever seen in my entire life back up to where they were, you know, say about 10 years ago. You know what I'm talking about. Now, the founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited, he has this advice. Oh, his name's Dell Walmsley, by the way, just in case you didn't know who I'm talking about. Dell has this advice about interest rates. He says, when you're analyzing a property for purchase, you got to go with what it's going to cost you for the money that you're going to use to leverage the asset. And ironically, those interest rates today are about where they've been for the majority of his life and the majority of my life. Now, Remember that house I told you about that I bought in 1988? Yeah, I bought it in 1988 thinking I was going to be all that in a bag of chips as a real estate investor. Had no idea what I was doing, but I just knew that real estate was the way to go. So, you know, what do? You got to get some, right? You got to get a piece of real estate, put it in your portfolio, and then see how it works out, right? Okay, so going all the way back to 1988, do you know what the interest rate was on that house that I purchased? 10.5%. It was a 10.5% interest rate on that mortgage. I assumed an existing mortgage, and that mortgage was at 10.5%. Now, the normal interest rates, I gotta think back way back, going way back. If I recall correctly, the interest rates at that time were really like around 9.5%. So for me, it was more advantageous for me to assume the existing mortgage because I didn't have to qualify, because at that point in my life, I wasn't doing work that necessarily gave me a bunch of W-2 income. So I don't think I could have qualified to buy that property. Interest rates were high. And even though I bought a property with a higher interest rate attached to it than what the mortgage markets were offering at that time for new product, I still paid the higher interest rate because there were to me at that time, there were some benefits for doing so. So here's the point I want to share with you. Don't worry about what the interest rates are. If they're 7%, then they're 7%. If they're 6.5%, then they're 6.5%. Underwrite your properties correctly and then apply the cost of money to the property. If the deal doesn't work, walk away, because that's much more important than the interest rate associated with a mortgage. It is whether or not you acquire an asset that provides for your investing goals and objectives. That's what is the most important thing for you to do. Okay, let me go back to this Heritage Foundation report. And here's something they said about the Joe Biden presidency back in 2023 with regards to housing in the United States of America. It says, the drop in supply is keeping upward pressure on home prices while the continued growth of government, a la Bidenomics, is pushing interest rates skyward. Well, I think the third point that they make is synonymous with the points that I've already shared with you. So I think what we've done is we've done a really good job of beating up on the Joe Biden presidency, but that's not really what I was trying to do. Although maybe that's for some of you, that's what I did. For some of you, that's not what I did. At the end of the day, whether I did it or I didn't do it is immaterial. What we need to talk about is the future, because there will be a transition in power on Monday. I can't change it. You can't change it. Hopefully, nothing in the world changes it, but it is scheduled to happen. So what can you expect in a Trump presidency with regards to housing? Well, according to MarketWatch, they've got six different things that they think a second Trump presidency will bring to the table that will affect home buyers and sellers. Notice I say home buyers and sellers. I didn't say specifically real estate investors. We're kind of lumped in there with the rest of those people, but we look at things a little bit differently than people look at real estate when they're looking to live in it. Does that make sense? We look at the properties from a investment standpoint. What do the numbers tell us? That is the most important piece of information that we can determine in the entire analyzation process. But if I'm looking to buy a property for me to live in, then it's whatever my wife wants. I mean, let's just be very clear about how that works. It probably works the same way for you too, right? Okay. Here are the six things that MarketWatch says will potentially occur during a Trump presidency. They're saying, expect mortgage rates to remain elevated in the aftermath of the election. The 30-year mortgage rate averaged 7.13 as of November 6th, according to the Mortgage News Daily. And what they're saying is they think that the mortgage rates will hold steady or they might go up. But again, don't worry about the cost of money. Worry about whether the deal makes you money or not. Okay, so I guess we can kind of move past that because we kind of beat that thing to death. All right, what else? What else? MarketWatch is giving me pop-up ads, and I don't like pop-up ads when I'm doing radio. All right, here's another thing you can anticipate. Higher home prices. They say expect higher home prices on homes as Trump's proposed tariffs on imported goods had the potential to increase the cost of building a house. Well, that would only apply if we import building materials. Oh, I think we do that. I think we do that. Maybe we ought to get back to making that stuff in the United States of America. But at the end of the day, whether Trump imposes tariffs or not is immaterial. What is material is understanding what the costs are associated with renovating your investment product. Does that make sense? Because there will be costs associated with buying the materials necessary for your general contractor to use to improve the distressed property that you will buy in 2025. Because I'm convinced that you're going to join Lifestyles Unlimited and you're going to buy your first property in 2025. What else is MarketWatch warn of? More tax incentives for home builders and more housing supply. Okay, that means potentially there's going to be more houses coming onto the market. How does that affect us as real estate investors? Not so much. And here's why. I'm looking for distressed properties. In other words, I'm looking for somebody that has a piece of property that they've kind of let go. They've just kind of let it deteriorate because that's the model that fits for what I want to accomplish. And if I buy that asset and improve it, I know that I have the potential to make money in the form of cash flow, natural appreciation, equity capture, principal pay down, the tax advantages. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's five different ways we make money in real estate. Yeah. So I'm not too worried about more properties coming out on the market, because at the end of the day, it might just make it a little bit easier for me to buy the types of properties that I want to buy, because maybe there's just one less person looking at those properties. Does that make sense? Okay. What else does MarketWatch say? They say less regulation in home building and lending. Amen. Amen. I think we just need less regulation in the United States of America, period. When I look at the amount of regulation that is applied to all the different industries that we have in the United States of America, I'm at a loss. I mean, who creates that amount of paper? Who creates that many words? Well, apparently politicians do, and we've got a ton of it. Now, some of it serves a very good purpose, but some of it is just an excuse for slowing down the ferocity of business. Yeah, I just made that up. Do you like it? Okay. Yeah, I didn't like it either. Okay. What else? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they could go private. What? The two major quasi-government sponsored enterprises that back the bulk of the residential mortgages in the United States could potentially part ways with their governmental masters and revert back completely into the public markets. Now that could be interesting. Maybe that's a show I will do in the future. I don't know. Does that benefit you and me as real estate investors? Well, I don't know, because what those entities do is they buy mortgages on the secondary market. We as real estate investors, we don't go to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac and negotiate mortgages with them. We go to mortgage brokers that find appropriate mortgage products for us, which may or may not have anything to do with Freddie or Fannie Mac. So is it a benefit? Is it a non-benefit? I think we got to wait and see on that. I think we have to wait and see. And here's the bottom line from MarketWatch, not from me, but from MarketWatch. They say for the average home buyer, nothing changes immediately. And I'm 100% lockstep with that statement. I am 100% lockstep with that statement. Because even though Trump becomes president next Monday, nothing changes overnight, especially in the United States of America, especially when you have a thing called Congress that does what Congress does. The United States government is slow. It's a Leviathan, if you will. It's just this monstrous thing that moves at a very slow pace that doesn't always do what everybody wants it to do. But it's the government we got. It's the government that we have. And the government will make some decisions in the future about future events. I don't know exactly what Trump is going to do. You and I, we've got to go through the process of paying attention to what he is up to. And then we have to determine whether or not anything that Trump does has a bearing on the real estate markets. And if it does have a bearing on the real estate markets, does it have a bearing on what we do as real estate investors? Now, at the end of the day, I am optimistic. I think that this change in power will be good for real estate investors. But that is just a projection. That is not the God's honest truth. I do not know that is exactly what will occur. But here's what I do know. President Joe Biden, on Monday, will no longer be the president of the United States. President Donald Trump will be the president of the United States. And we, as the American citizens, need to pay attention to what our government is doing, because our government can have a powerful impact on what we're trying to accomplish. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.